following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline removes an average of 60% of performance-robbing gunk on intake valves left by low-quality premium gasolines. And it starts with your very first tank. So when you fill up, car, engine, and performance come together to make your drive come alive. Choose Shell V-Power today and save at least 3 cents per gallon with the Fuel Rewards Network program. Sign up at fuelrewards.com.
You're listening to Guy Talk, live from the Sport Clips Haircuts locker room. Caller, you're on the air.
My girlfriend beat me playing one-on-one.
Ooh, sounds like you need to hit up a Sport Clips for an awesome haircut experience and some quality man time.
I don't know. My girlfriend always takes me to her salon.
Nonsense. Be your own man and get a great haircut in a guy-friendly place from stylists who know what guys need.
You may be right.
Sure I'm right. Now grab your Y chromosome, get down to Sport Clips, and ask for the MVP. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, live from Cunningham's Journal here in downtown Kearney for our weekly Husker Lunch. Sean Callahan will be on hand to chat with us at the end of our program, recap the Michigan State game, talk about Penn State, the dangerous game that will be going to Happy Valley. We talked about it earlier this week on the show. This is Penn State's bowl game. This is a tough game. I've talked about it all year. Sean will be chatting about that. Maybe throw out some bowl prognostications, where Nebraska might be going, who some of the opponents look like there. So we invite you to come down. Plus, he'll have his book, 100 Things Nebraska Fans Need to Know or Do Before They Die. $15 a copy. It makes a great Christmas gift, makes a great gift for yourself. It's a great read, and we would love to have you come down and join us on today's Doug and Daddy Show. We're here from 11 to 12, then the Husker Lunch from 12 to 1, and at the end of that 12 o'clock hour, we will be giving away our Nebraska-Iowa football tickets for next Friday's game in Lincoln. So folks have been going up against us in Pigskin Pick'em. Everybody that's registered here at the Husker Lunch throughout the year, all the names are in the hopper, and we will be drawing out for a pair of Nebraska football tickets coming up at the end of Sean Callahan just before 1 o'clock here. And you don't need to be present to win, but it would be cool if we could, give you a
small
parade.
What's your last chance to register? If you haven't registered yet, if you haven't come to one of these yet, you're running out of opportunities, and you might as well come with the chance to get a couple of tickets to the Heroes game.
Crazier things have happened. Come in on this final chance to register for the tickets. We'll still be back next week with another Husker Lunch. So come in and join us for that. Also on the Doug and Daddy Show today, we're going to be catching up with the new Tri-City Storm coach in Jim Holton. He was named yesterday. We'll learn a little bit about him and what he sees on this Tri-City Storm team. We'll also be talking with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report to get us ready for the state football finals next week, recap what has happened the last couple of days in classes C and D with a couple of surprises out there. And we'll also be talking with UNK wrestling coach Mark Bauer. They will have their annual Loper Wrestling Open coming up on Saturday, and we'll talk with him on our Loper Link here today. You can tell in the morning there wasn't much that happened in the world of sports yesterday, so that's good. In the national scene, it can be more localized here. Randy, Nebraska, a little banged up. A lot of kids setting out practice, and that is not good when you're going on the road.
No, it is not good at all. And to me, the area of the most concern is probably on that offensive line. I mean, they just really have been kind of walking wounded the last 3-4 weeks. They've lost a lot of guys on the offensive line. And you know what? I was pretty impressed with how well they played, even though they were hurt, a little short-staffed against Michigan State. The problem against Michigan State wasn't the blocking up front. Problems were elsewhere. But they just need to get better. But, you know, every team is in that boat a little bit. Very few teams this time of year are not going to have some sort of concerns about the injuries. But the depth, and to me, it's all kind of hitting that one area where you're thin anyway, and that is on the offensive line. So that's the area of concern.
Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we welcome for the first time to the program the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm in Jim Holton. He is the sixth coach in Storm history. And Coach, welcome to Kearney, welcome to the Tri-Cities, and welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. How are you?
Great, guys. Thanks very much.
Well, great to have you on. Introduced yesterday at the press conference to take over a Storm hockey team that is 15 games into a 60-game season. And I know a lot of people, including the owner, Kirk Brooks, was hoping that this team would be able to make a run into the playoffs this year. First off, let's start with what you see in this short amount of time. I'm guessing less than 10 days that you've had really to overlook and see what you've got here with the Storm. What can you tell us about what you see from the kids that you have?
Well, I think what I've seen on tape and what I've heard from speaking with a lot of NHL scouts, but first and foremost, there's a lot of talent there. And normally when there's a team with a bad record, you look at two things. Number one, is it an underachieving group? Like, is there talent there? Or two, is there no talent? If there's no talent, it's going to be hard to turn it around. But if you have talent, then I think with new direction, you can turn some things around. And that's what I see, and that's what I hear. Like, everyone talks about the talent we have here, as evidenced by, I think, the 16-D1 commitment. So it's a matter of us creating a style and an identity that's going to lead us to success.
Jim, I've heard you talk a few times about establishing an identity. What identity do you see the team potentially has, and does that match the kind of identity that you like to establish for a hockey team?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think what we need to do is we have to be harder to play against. And that happens in a number of forms, and all kinds of different styles of teams can be difficult to play against. I mean, we need to be a little bit more physical. I'm not sure if our makeup's going to allow us to be the most physical team in the league. But by being hard to play against, we have to be pesky. We have to be resilient. We have to be in your face. We have to frustrate opponents. And that has nothing to do really with size, with age, or with talent. That's more a state of mind. And that's kind of my goal right off the hop here, is to change our mindset and to reinforce some of those things we just talked about.
We're talking with Jim Holton, the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jim has been all over the place coaching hockey in a variety of different spots. Was with the Florida Panthers from 08 to 2011. What do you know about the USHL, Jim?
Well, I know it's a very highly regarded league that has kind of evolved into being the main feeder system into the NCAA. A lot of my background in junior hockey was spent in the Ontario Hockey League. And I know the USHL has always been held in very high regard in the Ontario League and then obviously in Canada. And again, it's almost on par with our Canadian Hockey League. And again, in speaking with the NHL guys, I know it's very highly regarded as a development league. And again, that's why I'm so excited to be here.
Coach, you kind of mentioned changing attitude and that sort of thing. That can be kind of a long-term process. In the short term, what do you really see as the very first thing that needs to change for this hockey team?
We have to up our compete level, first and foremost. So we're going into Chicago on Friday night, and we have to earn the right to win the game. And to me, that's as simple as our work ethic. We have to make sure that every rink we go into, at the end of the night, we can look in the mirror and the fans leaving the building can know that Tri-City outworked their opponent.
We're chatting with Jim Holton here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I know you can't divulge everything that was said and some of the things behind the scenes, but what did Kirk Brooks tell you about this town, this organization, and his expectations?
Well, Mr. Brooks is an interesting man to talk to. He's very passionate about what he believes in, and he did a great sales job in terms of the city. I grew up in a very, ironically, a very, very small town on a dairy farm. So the fact that I kept hearing from some people, wow, Kearney's a little bit off the beaten path. And I'm thinking, oh, that's great. That's exactly what I'm looking for. But he talked about the quality of the facilities, you know, his commitment as an owner. And just the, after having been around the block a few times, what you look for in opportunities is you want an owner that's passionate, that's willing to spend some money to support you and the things that you need. You have a good facility, and then you have a town and a community that backs you. And all of those items on the list were checked off quite easily here in Tri-City.
For the things that will change, Jim, is everything on the table, or are you going to kind of stick with the lines that these young men have gotten used to, or is everything out there, everything can change?
Well, everything's open to change, and I think when you struggled out of the gate, obviously whatever had been tried wasn't working real well. So we're going to attempt to do some change. Now, it's going to be a bit of a difficult challenge for me, and I'm going to lean heavily on my staff to advise me in that. But what I'm going to tell the players is we're hopping on the bus here shortly going to Omaha for a practice on route to Chicago. So this will be my first time on the ice with them. We have practice today, tomorrow, then we have a pregame skate on Friday. So I'm not going to make a lineup decision until after I see these first two practices. And exactly what we talked about here a few minutes earlier, that work ethic, that resilience, that peskiness, I want to see those elements at play here in these practices, and then I'll make a lineup decision, because through my eyes, I have no preconceived notions here, so I'm just going to let my eyes dictate.
Talking here for just another minute with the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Jim Holton, on the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda and Randy Bushcutter. Coach, I can read your bio, but familiarize yourself and the folks that are listening here today with yourself. You've been in Ontario right before this to come down to Kearney. As we said, you've made many stops. You've got a couple of kids that play hockey, married, and all that kind of things. What should the folks around here know about their new head coach?
Well, first of all, I'll talk about my family, because they're the most important thing in my world. My wife, Christina, and I've got two sons, a nine-year-old, Jimmy, who is an aspiring goalie, plays on a travel team in Ontario. And then my youngest is Lucas, who's a six-year-old, who just scored his first goal Saturday before Daddy left. So,
cool.
Very incredibly supportive family, which is the only way anybody lasts in this crazy business. So they will be down here periodically. Obviously, my kids are in school right now, so we don't want to do anything before to disrupt their schooling this year. So it'll be a bit of a challenge for both of us, with them being there and me being here. But I'm excited to get them down here to see what Kearney's all about and the Tri-City area. As far as coaching, I mean, I guess when you've got as a dotted resume as I do, it just proves that I love to coach and I'm willing to go anywhere to do it. And I've had some fantastic experiences. I've got to represent Canada five different times in international events. I've coached junior primarily, and then had the great privilege and honor of coaching in the NHL for 3 years.
Coach, what can you kind of tell us about your team? I mean, have you had a chance to talk to some of the players? I know you haven't had a practice with them yet. I'm sure you've looked at some game film. Are there some players that you kind of feel that maybe you can lean on to help you with this transition from what Coach Algie used to do to what you're trying to implement?
Well, I'm going to lean more on the staff early going here. We've had one meeting with the players yesterday after the press conference, and really I just tried to alleviate probably the apprehension and tension that those young men have felt. Sometimes we forget they're still boys and that this is the first time they've gone through it. So dealing with the emotions of a coaching change for the first time is something foreign to them. So I tried to put their minds at ease, but I also tried to walk them through some of my philosophies and my beliefs as a coach, just to familiarize them with how we're going to be doing things and operating as we move forward. And the I guess the good and the bad of it, I'm getting baptized by fire this weekend, jumping right on a bus here for 9-10 hours. But I think it's great in the sense that I'm going to get to know the kids, their personalities in a hurry, and I'm going to use the bus time to have individual meetings with each of the kids. And really, I don't even, and I told them this before, I'm not going to ask them what the problem was, because that's not really any of their business. It's my job to come in and try to correct it, but I want to spend the time to get to know them as people, because sometimes we get lost in the forest of worrying about forecheck and backcheck, and we have to understand that it's people that we're coaching, and the more I can know about every one of them as coaches, and hopefully I can be a better motivator.
Well, Jim, as we've talked with coaches that have taken care of the Storm or any of our area teams, you know, we've got to have a little background information for the next time we talk to you. I need to know your NHL affiliation, your college affiliation, so that when they move along in the postseason, we know whether we can rib you or not. Who does the new coach, Jim Holton, follow?
Well, I grew up a Bruin fan, Boston Bruin fan, because the city I grew up in, that was a protected territory of Boston. I'm the youngest of four boys, and all my older brothers were heavily under the Bobby Orr influence. So I was a Bruin fan, and I went to university up in Canada, Toronto, New York University, and unfortunately, we don't have the same affiliations with our universities as we do down here. So safe to say I'm a Cornhusker fan now.
Hey, you're playing it smart anyway.
Well, Jim, I know you've got to get on the bus, get things together, and start your new job. So we look forward to working with you and chatting with you throughout the season. And best of luck getting things underway this weekend.
Thanks very much, guys, and I really look forward to being on the air more with you.
You bet. Take care. Good luck this weekend. Good luck this season. Jim Holton, new head coach, Tri-City Storm. It's always, and again, we've mentioned this, when Matt Schick and I started the program, when Big Daddy and I did the program for years, when Jimmy Langan's been on, Randy, when you're on, we are in a different situation with our talk show, our program, than a national program, or even if you listen to a program in Omaha and Lincoln where they can hint towards they want to change here or they want to see this. You know, we come on here and say, hey, we want a new hockey coach, or we want a new local baseball coach, or a new football coach, or a new whatever it is. You know, they're going to walk across the street and slap us upside the head, you know, and say, why would we do that? That affects our communities the way it is. I don't know why it didn't work with Josh Howji. And he said the right things when he was hired, and Drew Schenick said the right things when he was hired, and I liked hearing what Jim had to say here. I still haven't, and you are the biggest hockey fan of all of the people that have ever been on the show as far as a co-host that I know of, so you're a little closer to the situation. From that aspect, I haven't figured out why the team hasn't won. Because let's face it, outside of Jaden Schwartz, it has been a long time since this team has been relevant in the United States Hockey League. Some point at the coaching, well, it can't be all coaching. Some point at the change in ownership. I know that where the hockey team was before Crook Brooks was next to just as well pack it, but shut the door and shove them out of town. What is the Storm lacking?
They've lacked an identity. I really like the fact that that he's mentioned that they need to have an identity, because they have lacked that. When they won the Anderson Cup, had the best record in the league, they were an extremely good passing team. They could skate, they could pass, they were fast, they got from one end of the ice to the other, they controlled the puck because they could handle it so well and in terms of passing it and playing keep away, in a sense, with the defense. You can do it. You can win in hockey a lot of different ways. You can be that strong physical team. You can really muscle them up. And I think that's the direction, just kind of reading between the lines. He says he'd like them to be a little bit more physical. So it might be an indication that might be a direction that Jim wants to take the team. But they've lacked an identity. They've just tried to be a little of this and a little of that. And when you have just small little bits in there, the stew doesn't have a whole lot of flavor. You really kind of have to have that one central ingredient that's going to be your team identity, and they have lacked that for whatever reason.
Let me ask you this. Has the weakest part been the recruiting? Because
it always is.
When Coach Schenick came in, and Tom Rudwood was before that, and Bliss Littler was before that, and I think I've done a pretty good job of remembering everybody, and, of course, Jimmy Hillman to start everything out. How much money would you give me to name all six Tri-City Storm
coaches? That's
pretty good.
But
when Drew took over, they wanted to do A.
Right.
And then they got rid of Drew because they didn't think he was doing A, and Josh wanted to do something the opposite. There's either slow it down and play rough, or there's let's score some goals.
Yeah.
The second year of Howji, well, we got to do it the other way. Well, in 1 year, that just showed me that you didn't get the players you needed.
Yeah.
And this isn't like you're going out and buying players and finding free agents and scouting. You got to go all over the world to try and find these guys. And I guess I'm trying to figure out why everybody else in the league, not everybody, but 10 teams in the league, we've seen every team in the league stink and then be very good in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time. The Storm, hey, they've stunk, and they also have one banner. They do have a banner at the Vero Events Center.
It is recruiting. If you get enough talent out there, you could coach them and win some games. I could coach them and win some games if you get enough talent. Now, it's not easy to say that. I mean, because you're working against guys that know what they're doing and across the league. So it's going to be hard to build that team where you don't have to worry about coaching. All right. So please understand, I'm not saying it's just one thing and not the other. But the central element is it's very difficult to, again, to use a food analogy. Apparently I'm hungry while I'm here at Cunningham's. If you have bad ingredients, it's going to be hard to make that recipe and cook it the way you want it, to get it going the way you want it to. The better ingredients, the better the product is going to be. And they have kind of lacked with doing that. But part of that is you have to have that identity. You're looking for those players that are going to do this. Finding those people that are going to kind of fit in that jigsaw puzzle. Because, again, you can be a physical team, but you don't necessarily want your forwards to be physical. You want them to be fast. You want them to be able to handle the stick. You want them to be able to pass and to shoot. You don't necessarily, if they're big, strong, and physical, bonus, but you kind of need them to kind of be in their specific element of what they do. So it is. It kind of boils down to recruiting. We could say the same thing about Nebraska football right now. If we were recruiting better athletes, we'd have a better year. I mean, it's very similar.
You think.
You would think.
We will be back with more here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mark Bauer, UNK wrestling coach, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, and, of course, Sean Callahan for our Husker Lunch. We're here at Cunningham's. Come on down anytime. We're here now. We'll be here till 1 o'clock. Pop in, get some lunch. If you have to be out of here at 12:30, so be it. If you can't get here till 12:30, so be it. Sean will be talking Husker football, answering your questions. He's got his new book with him, and we'd love to have you along with us. We'll be back with our Loper Link, Bob Jensen, and a whole lot more after this.
Are you serious about maximizing muscle growth, boosting strength, and optimizing hormones so you can get noticed in the gym? Well, you asked, and Complete Nutrition listened. Introducing the new L3 Anabolic Stack. L3 is the best new muscle-building supplement stack on the planet. If you want to jack up testosterone levels 42% in as little as 12 days, all while packing on tons of muscle and raising growth hormone levels so you can be the man you never thought you'd be, stop by a Complete Nutrition store today and find out how the new L3 series is changing the muscle building game for men.
Complete Nutrition.
Warning, if you put on more than 15 pounds of muscle in the first 4 weeks, please visit your personal health consultant to adjust your dosage.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Hi, it's The Herd. With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office. Who does? Traffic, parking, it's never worse than the holidays. It'll be packed. So I recommend using Stamps.com instead. Okay, you can avoid all the hassles of circling the post office, getting behind Gert in line. It's a headache. Everything you can do at the post office, do from your desk, do from at home. Buy and print official U.S. postage. Your own computer, your own printer. By the way, you can print postage, any letter, any package, domestic, international, any size, when you need it, then hand it to the mailman. Easy and convenient. Right now, a special offer. Got to use my name, no risk, $110 all in. And they'll give you a digital scale. How do you do it? Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the mic, top of the homepage, and type in Colin. That's stamps.com, enter Colin. You'll get 55 bones, free postage, digital scale, $110 all in. Don't circle the parking.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
We'll see sunny skies developing in our forecast for today with high temperatures near 62 degrees, and we'll have increasing clouds tonight as a cold front approaches. We'll fall to lows of 29. I'm meteorologist Sam Danieski. Right now it's 54.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. Here, our Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth takes us to Cunningham's Journal and the Loft, where they've always got great entertainment and your favorite sporting events on. No matter where you look, you can catch one of their great big TVs to bring home your favorites, whether it's college football, NFL football, the basketball season, of course, is underway. Whatever the case may be, you can watch it at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch. So stop by and see us today. Get registered one final time for the Nebraska-Iowa football tickets, which will be given away at the end of the day right before 1 o'clock. And speaking of Midway Auto Dealerships, they're located on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac with their Midway Care Sale going on right now. Midway has huge hassle-free discounts with consumers keeping all the rebates. Plus, you get low deductibles on new and certified pre-owned vehicles with easy exchanges. Of course, if you get something and say, you know what, you're 2 weeks in, this isn't what I wanted, they'll take it back. 30-day exchange on all of their certified and pre-owned vehicles at the Midway Auto Dealerships. Whether it's new or pre-owned certified, you get that 30-day exchange, free preventative care on new and certified as well at the Midway Auto Dealership. See them today, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. We will have Bob Jensen joining us here in just a moment. And as we do that, let's look at the trivia question, our Midtown Mart. It's not a trivia question, it's our poll question, Midtown Mart Cooler question of the day. Yesterday, Randy, we said, should pass interference calls be subject to replay after all the Monday night brouhaha?
Why not? You know, I
think it's still judgment if you replay it.
I think it still is, but I didn't complain about it anyway. First of all, I don't like the Pats. Second of all,
that shouldn't have anything to do
with it. It really should. But to me, I didn't think it was catchable by Gronkowski because the guy that made the interception was still going to break it up anyway. I really kind of felt like the officials got that right. And by the way, if you want to look at the board or whether or not something is or is not pass interference, start with that play. Because really, I think that's where the line is at. But if you're going to review whether or not there's a fumble, why not that? A pass interference call can change the game as much as anything else.
Very close call. No is 53% that there shouldn't be a replay, and 47% said yes. Our Midtown Mart Cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. For today, which state football championship game are you most looking forward to watching? All six are up there. You've got Donovan Trumbull and Cozad, of course, from the area. York, which is in our listening area. And then a couple of the games we saw in D1, Stewart and Hemingford moving on. And, of course, there's always the Class A fans out there. Which state football championship are you most looking forward to watching? Again, you can't jinx anybody at this time of the season. But if Cozad did that to Boone Central yesterday, that probably should be a similar result at the state championship. Fall City Sacred Heart, I think, is going to be a big favorite over Stewart. Omaha Scutt in York, I think you got to give an edge to Scutt, although you just never know in that ball game. So that leaves us with three choices to me, and that is Donovan Aquinas. And in my gut, I really think Donovan, even though Aquinas avenged their two losses by beating both of those teams in the playoffs, Donovan looks really, really good as long as they hold on to the ball. So you're down to what I think will be a great Class A game and an intriguing D1 game, because I think Hemingford, Exeter, Milligan is what it's all about as far west and about as far east about as you can go. If it was Sacred Heart and Hemingford, then you'd have it,
yeah.
So I'll give that a slight edge over the A game.
You know, I think I'm going to go with the C2 game because I really think the matchup between Donovan Trumbull and Aquinas is interesting. Donovan Trumbull hasn't been to the finals. Aquinas, it almost feels like their birthright to be in the state championship game. That'll help them. And obviously they're playing better football now, avenging their two losses. I think they played maybe a little bit tougher schedule than what Donovan Trumbull has, although Donovan Trumbull certainly has kind of proved themselves the course of the year. I'm interested in both C2 and C1, kind
really?
Of in that order. Yeah.
You think Aquinas has played? Because we talked about this on the way back yesterday. Northeast Nebraska football right now isn't as powerful as it's been over the last 15 years. I would argue that Donovan Trumbull's schedule was as tough, if not tougher, than Aquinas, because you got Sutton, you got Blue Hill, you got Hastings St. Cecilia on there.
But there's also those environments.
I don't think they play Blue Hill, but they've got the other teams on.
But it's been those environments. It's been the kind of that pressure. It's not just 1 year kind of thing. I think that idea that you're playing those teams and you're beating those teams from that part of the state still carries a little bit of gravitas with it.
Easy.
Sorry, I didn't mean to break out the big words there. Actually, that one's – don't ask me to spell it. Just let me say that.
That's the end of it.
Yeah.
That's our Midtown Mark Cooler question for today.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. He's got game.
And Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report has been across the state. He was at Cozad yesterday, and that's where I want to start. Bob, it's not shocking to me that Cozad won that football game, but when you see 35-7, that is shocking.
Duda, Bush, good morning. Here's the deal. 35-7 doesn't do it justice. I'm telling you what, I wrote it this morning. The performance by the Cozad offensive line last night was the best performance by a unit or group. You know, I don't want to go all Grammys on you here, but best performance by a unit or a group of players that I've seen all year. Because they took a group. Forget about the quarterback. You know, Wyatt Mazur was a little bit dinged up. Doesn't matter, okay? Because the line that Boone has that had basically just, you know, just had its way with basically everybody else that played got manhandled. And it wasn't like, well, we'll wear them down and, you know, pull away late. I would say the second series, the holes started to get bigger when Cozad had the ball, and it was just thorough domination. It was a very, very impressive win for Cozad.
And, Bob, I want to take a look at the other side of the football in the exact same game. I mean, to hold Boone to only 7 points, and there was a turnover or two that kind of helped out the Cozad cause here a little bit. But defensively, what did they do so effectively? Because I've seen Boone play, and they can throw the football as well as run it pretty effectively. And I don't think I heard a pass completion. I mean, there was very few in that game. I mean, they did a great job of shutting down the Cardinals' offense.
Yeah, you're right, Bush. Their passing yardage was in the teens, and here's the thing about the defense. Same thing. Role reversal. Cozad's line just dominated, and the pressure was intense. And the thing that and Arnie Johnson told me this after Boone Central coach Arnie Johnson told me this after the game. He said, you know, they're just a lot faster in the secondary than we thought they were, frankly. And, you know, Boone couldn't get outside. They certainly couldn't move the Cozad defensive line. Cozad's got Alex Berechka playing linebacker. And then two kids last night, and I guess this is going to cut across all of it. They're not linemen, but I'm telling you what, Boone Central's seen enough of Jacob Stahlbaumer to last them a lifetime after the way he played in the line last night. Two underclassmen that came up huge last night. Connor Young, two interceptions and a long touchdown pass, and another real important pass. And Colin Watovic, who you know, they take Jake Paulson out, give him a little breather, turn him loose. He was great. And then he was even better on defense. He's one of their leading tacklers. And he had three sacks last night. And if I'm not mistaken, all three of them were for double digits. It just goes on and on. I mean, it was Cozad's night.
We're talking with Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. Give me your thoughts. Jake Paulson, I saw Jordan Slough. There's some great football players out there. But Jake Paulson is how good? Where do you put him in some of the guys that you've covered over the past 20, 25 years?
Well, if you're going to talk about C1, and really that's the only fair thing to do. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that. He's
or even B. I want to throw B in there because Cozad's been B for a long time.
Okay,
too.
All right, B. Well, if you go outside of A, all right, Paulson's right there. Because here's the thing about Jake Paulson, he's bigger than you think. You know, he's all of 175 pounds. He's got closing speed, and the thing is, the kid has got such great vision. You know, that is such a talent to be in a crowded room like that. There are bodies everywhere. There's a little crease, and boom, there you go. And I don't know how many times last night, dude, probably five or six, where honestly it looked like the play was over, and pop, here he comes out for another couple yards. And, you know, when you combine that with the way their line played, you know, it was really good, but Paulson's been really good since he was a sophomore, and he weighed 140 pounds. He's 35 pounds bigger now, at least, and he is outstanding. He is the biggest difference maker within any class, with the exception of Calvin Strong.
All right, Bob, probably not surprised that Cozad won, maybe, but by the score. Who is in the state finals that is maybe a little bit of a surprise to you, and how are they going to do when they hit Lincoln?
Stewart. I mean, you know, honestly, Stewart's got one senior. You know, Stewart missed the playoffs last year. You know, Stewart, you know, it's Stewart, okay? They've never been to a state final. You know, as good as Hemmingford has been on paper, you know, they were still an approve-it situation. You know, them getting to a final, you know, in hindsight, you know, hey, it's just fine. I mean, they you know, had their way with Overton and Elm Creek. They've earned their way down there. But, you know, you've got to be a little bit surprised when you get a panhandle team, an eight-man team, the first one since 86. So those are two that immediately come to mind. As of less of a surprise, but one of the great stories in this whole deal is York. York had lost 20 in a row, boys, when these seniors were sophomores. They won a game. They won two games that year. They made the playoffs last year, won a playoff game, won a big playoff game, and now they're in the finals. And I was listening to you guys before we came on the air, and of course, this is the kiss of death, but, man, I think they could win it. I mean, offense, defense, athletes, coaching, they've got the whole package.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. We're going to talk with Mark Bauer, UNK wrestling coach, and, of course, Sean Callahan from Husker Online as we're here at our Husker Lunch at Cunningham. So come on down and join us. The most exciting game yesterday was played between Ashland Greenwood and Columbus Lakeview. That will have Ashland Greenwood taking on Cozad. I already know nobody's giving Ashland Greenwood a chance here, but there was some throwing of the football in this football game. I know Cozad had some problems against a couple of teams that did chuck the ball a little bit, but when you can win at home with a touchdown pass in the final 30 seconds to make your first state final, That there's nothing better than what Ashland Greenwood will have, and they'll have to come down off that high. I was surprised by how easily Donovan Trumbull rolled in the second half yesterday. They're just so darn good. But here's Aquinas on the other side avenging their two losses, and these crazy David City kids are going for three in a row.
Well, I got to say something about Ashland Greenwood. That is another great story, another first-time finalist. Boys, these guys went 27 years in a row without qualifying for the playoffs. It's only been here in the last 10 years they ever got to a postseason game. So being in the finals is, you know, the natural extension of all that. It's a fabulous story. Last year, they played their district championship game. I was there. I wanted to see Ashland Greenwood for myself. They played Wahoo. They were right there, give or take 56 points. They got beat 63-7, and you know, I can't let go of that. That's the backdrop to this final now. But as far as those other two go, you're right, Donovan, Doug. I listened to your masterful call of the game on the way home, and I actually understood which team had the ball and how much time was on the clock, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
There's no let up. There's no time to catch your breath. You've seen that. You guys have seen that for yourself. That offense is just never ending. And you know, Battle Creek really was one of the hottest teams in any class. With you know a couple pretty important people not playing, you know, Donovan just steamrolled them. And this is a classic. This is a classic matchup between Donovan's offense. I know they got a defense. Donovan's offense against Aquinas' defense. I know they got an offense and special teams. And, you know, somebody's going to get their way. You said a mouthful again, Duda, when you said if they don't drop the ball, if they don't turn the ball over, there's no stopping Donovan Trumbull. It'll be just a matter if Aquinas can keep up.
Class A, Omaha West Side, Omaha North. How do you kind of see that matchup? I don't know if it's really a huge surprise that either team is in there, but how do you see the matchup in A?
Well, you know what, Bush? I tell you what, it's just impossible to take your eyes off of Calvin Strong, the junior running back at Omaha North. He is 2,700 yards, 42 touchdowns in Class A. Just they're like make-believe numbers. But you know what? I have seen Westside play a couple times in the playoffs, and it's a team that just fits. They have got a little bit of everything. They have got a great kicking game. And, of course, in a close game, that, you know, that's got a real chance to be a factor. Their quarterback is their kicker. He's a kid named Christian Hagen. And he's thrown for 2,000 yards, and he kicked 4 field goals, state record, 2 rounds ago. And I don't know. You know, Omaha North, they've never been there until last year, and now they're back. And, you know, the natural sentiment is to say, hey, let, you know, finish it off. I'm not sure if they will, because I just think Westside has got enough of everything to counterbalance. Omaha North's going to score points. I just think Westside might be a little more complete team.
All right, Bob, we will see you at Memorial Stadium. I'm sure we'll have you on a time or two during the championship games, because I want some of those stories that we haven't got a chance to get to, because there's always a couple of dandies out there. So enjoy the weekend and a Friday without football. I hope you survive.
The first since August 23rd. So
I hear you.
Anyway,
brother,
it's always great to be on, boys. It is an awful fun time of year. I can't wait for Monday and Tuesday.
All right, Bob, thank you so much. Have a good one. That's Bob Jensen. He's always gracious, joining us every Wednesday here on the Doug and Daddy Show and any other time that we want to run him down. Time for our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank. The UNK volleyball team advances on to the semifinals last night in the MIAA tournament, and the volleyball team has 6 players named all MIAA first-team honors for a second straight year. Katie So Kalowski, sophomore MJ Massanet, and also on the first team, senior outside Ashley Leitner, second all-conference nod with Aaron Seeley on the second team. Ellie Pesavento and Liz McGowan are on the third team. That's everybody, right? That's six of seven.
We were kind of looking at it and go, well, there isn't anybody on honorable mention. You'd have to have a non-starter be on honorable mention. That's how good they were this year.
They're pretty darn good. And so they're off to Washburn for the semifinals Friday, and if they win that, most likely go to Central Missouri on Saturday for the next round. That's the very clear and present. This weekend, Saturday, there's wrestling in Kearney. I don't know if you've heard, but they've got a decent program up there in Loperville. They've won a couple. You know, at the end of the year, they've won a couple of those meets. And Mark Bauer, head coach of the 2-time defending national champions. What's up, bud?
Hey, I'm here and
great
I'm excited
to see
to be here. I have to tell you,
you know, this is payback for the banquet.
Yeah, I know. I was so disappointed last night. I went over to the volleyball game, watched the first 2 sets, and then I had to run up and pick up my daughter, and I missed the 3rd set, and I heard that was the most exciting set because I heard Coach Squires got a yellow card or something.
And uh-oh.
Got a little heated there, but I missed the excitement. So, but congratulations to them. What a great year.
I heard he's building a coloring book here lately. maybe he can tell us about that next week when they get ready for
Excited for them and hoping they have a great tournament down or great game at Washburn.
Well, Mark, fill us in. I know you've been on the road here a couple of times before you come home. We'll talk about that and what is still to come before the holiday break, but where you at and how you think you've been doing?
Well, I tell you, we've had some pretty solid tournaments. You know, we started off in Wyoming with 17 of our guys. Most of them are younger guys. We've got 15 new guys in our team, a couple transfers, the rest freshmen. And so just kind of breaking them in and getting them going has been kind of interesting. And, you know, fairly good showing at Wyoming. I think really more than anything, it was giving us a pretty good indication of where these young guys are at and where we need areas we need to work on. And then we went down to Bethany College in Lindsberg, Kansas, which is primarily an NAI tournament, but we picked up about 3 times more pins and about 3 times more matches while we were down there, so that really felt really good for the guys, built a lot of confidence. But then we headed back into Iowa State last weekend, and I tell you what, there was not a lot of wrestlers there, but the quality was just outstanding. You know, University of Minnesota, we wrestled 7 individuals that are ranked in the top 10 in Division I, and I'm just going to tell you right now, we didn't come out on the winning side of those matches, but a great experience and a great opportunities for those young men. So it's been a learning experience up to this point. We still have 5 of our starters that are not in the lineup. We'll get Daniel and Daniel DeShazer and Romero Cotton back from the football team here in a couple weeks, and so it'll be nice to get that leadership and experience back in the room. So we've got some work to do. It's early. But we're looking forward to staying home this weekend.
Who is the one guy right now that you say, wow, he's really kind of impressed you? He's starting the season exactly, maybe even better than you even hoped for.
You know, I don't know that I could tell you there's that one guy. We did have a transfer come in from Shadron State. His name is Leandro Arias, originally from Cheyenne, Wyoming. And this young man's, we're planning to redshirt him this week, this year. But this last weekend at the Iowa State Open, he finished fourth in the tournament. And I tell you what, he pushed some really tough kids to their limits. And he's just one of those kids. He's extremely dangerous, but had some exciting matches. His last match of the day, I think the final score was 15 to 12. I mean, I'm talking, that's 27 points.
That's a lot of action.
Oh, it was a ton of action. And it was interesting, but we got out to a quick start and into first period, we're ahead 7-0, and we knew their kid was really good on top. It was our choice, and we deferred, and the guy chose top. I looked at their coach, and I'm like, no. And yeah, before we knew it, it was 10-7 in their favor, and so we kind of had some work to do. But I tell you, he's exciting, and he's somebody that could factor in the long run, but I'm not really for sure right now. But it's exciting. To know that we've got some young guys that are really working hard and picking up a lot of mat time right now, guys that we're planning on redshirting right now and just hoping to get that experience so they can take off in the next few years for us.
Mark Bauer, UNK wrestling coach, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show live from Cunningham, starting to fill up for our Husker lunch, and Sean Callahan. Mark, a lot of Kearney kids. In fact, three of them from Kearney High came down, some Grand Island kids, and they're not all freshmen, but will any of those guys figure in your lineup at this point in the season?
Not right now. That's not our initial plan. I think originally with Hunter Bamford, we were looking at him possibly being a 25-pounder. But I tell you what, he's almost 6 foot tall now. And he did not certify at 125. There's just no way we could get him down there. And now, you know, actually, he got his shoulder hurt in our blue gold duel. He wrestled my son and lit on his shoulder wrong in it. And so actually he hasn't had any mat time right now. This weekend will be his first weekend on the mat, which I'm kind of excited about. But even a 6 foot tall 133-pounder, that's a beanpole. I mean, that's all legs and long, skinny arms. So, but I think these are young men that eventually are going to factor into some things for us. It's just not right now. You know, their main goal is to get as much experience as they can this year and in the room to be pushing the guys around them so they get that experience in the room as well. So we're excited about them, though.
Talk a little bit about your event and who all is coming into town and how the format of this kind of works.
You know, this is an open tournament. If you would like to suit up and wrestle, you're more than welcome to, Randy.
I don't think I'm certified either.
Mark, Tom McCann will be out there.
I don't think I was certified
McCann
either.
McCann will be out there.
Coach McCann, he'd be strapping it on, let me tell you. But I tell you, this has been a great event for us. You know, when the University of Nebraska-Omaha dropped their program, they had a tournament that was just very well known. It was the Kauffman brand, and it was a highly respected event. A lot of teams came to it. And as soon as they dropped, we were like, we want to take that over. And so we started this event. This will be our third year, and it's growing steadily. We did lose a couple teams this year, but we're adding three teams. And after the first four teams were entered so far yesterday, we were at 120 kids already. That's four teams. We're expecting somewhere in the neighborhood of 30. So this tournament easily is going to be around 400 to 450 student athletes. The reason I like this tournament, early in the year, we split into two divisions. There's an elite division and an amateur division. And this is very attractive to a lot of schools, especially NAI junior colleges, because you're not throwing your young pups in with the guys that have been around the block several times. And so it gives them the opportunity to get more mat time instead of sending them out there and just, you know, going 0-2 and not getting much experience. So I think this is something that is pretty exciting. We've got seven states represented. And so a pretty big cross-section here. The next closest tournament that's this size is in Lindenwood this coming weekend in St. Louis. So, again, we're actually drawing some schools out of Missouri here as well, because they're like, we wrestle these Missouri schools all the time. We don't want to wrestle them, you know, every single weekend. And so we're actually drawing some schools from there as well. So this is going to be a great event for us and for our community as well.
9 a.m. Buffalo County Fairgrounds. It rolls most of the morning through the afternoon, and that is going on this Saturday. Mark, when you built the program where you've had it, people might get that initial impression, oh, my gosh, how are they not preseason number one? We talk about this every year.
Yep.
You're sitting in two. You look at what you got coming back. It's pretty easy to know where you're going to be in the preseason rankings. They don't mean a whole much until end of January, maybe, to see where you're at. So expectations for this year's team would be?
Very high. We really, truthfully, only have a couple weight classes. We're solid. There's 10 weight classes. We are solid at every single weight class. When we step out on the mat this year, every kid that's going to compete against us is they got a mountain to climb. We've got two weight classes that have new faces that – haven't quite turned the corner, but they've had some solid wins over some individuals that were good kids, or they're close to some really good kids. And so they're right there, and it's just a matter of them keeping their confidence up and kind of getting to that next plateau in their career. If those guys can do it, holy cow, there's no doubt in my mind, I feel like we could qualify all 10 guys for the national tournament. Now, that throws a whole nother wrench in things. We moved to this the regionalization with the NCAA. They did a regionalization where they moved teams around different regions. Not only have we switched from the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference to the MIAA Conference, we now have left the West region, which qualifies us for national. We're in the Central region, which goes from Central Oklahoma all the way to St. Cloud. Three of the top five teams in the nation are in our region.
Great
this year
job, NCAA. Yeah, exactly. Great job. You do that, and you don't move volleyball. Seriously, what does it take to work for these people?
So we kind of look at it right now. We kind of have a mini nationals before we have nationals. There's some good to it. There's some bad to it. But one of the positives that they did, they increased our, you know, we're in a region now. Instead of having 12 schools, we have 17 schools. But instead of having four qualifiers, we have five qualifiers. And the region that we were just in went from four down to three because they only have 12 schools. So there has been some advantages to what's going on here. The other big advantage is obviously when you take your top four guys in the same region and put them in a national bracket, you're in separate quarter brackets so that you won't see each other till the semifinals, which you're All-American status already. So there's some good advantages to it as well, but it's going to be tough getting everybody through.
I'm sure you probably did a little bit of look at this already, and you mentioned that all 10 weight classes, you feel pretty confident with the young man that you're going to put out there. Realistically, looking in, if you have to make a prediction, how many of those 10 will be wrestling for you at the national meet?
Realistically, eight of them. Which last year I think we qualified seven. So, yeah, it's a lot. And being that Division II wrestling, if you know, for people that have been watching it closely, we, 6-7 years ago we had 42 teams. We are close to 60 now.
Cool.
And again, you get one, you know, these extra schools that are popping up, one or two studs, it starts leveling the playing field out. You don't quite have that power set in one, two, three, four schools, even though if you look over the last several years, and especially teams like Central Oklahoma that have won 15 national championships, they're in the top five every single year. Yeah, we would love to maintain something like that. That's kind of our goal, obviously, but that's a challenge to do, you know, for any level. And so we've got our challenges in front of us, obviously, but it's something that we have to sit back and say, you know, it's a delightful challenge. You got to have this attitude that we got to keep doing what we're doing. Our theme for our team this year is staying the course. And literally, it's not, you know, what we're doing. We feel like we've got a great formula. We're peaking our guys. We're getting our guys prepared at the right time of the year. Our guys are walking off the mat right now and heads down, kind of tail between the leg a little bit. I have to remind them, hey, this is not national championship. We're not there yet. Don't expect to be peaking right now. You're not in 100% shape. You're not clicking. You're not. Your timing's not there yet. We will get there, but that's in March. And so I'm trying to keep them in perspective because, you know, you win a national championship. I think sometimes they have some unreal expectations that they're going to step out there and they're going to whip up on everybody every single time, and it's just not going to happen. So really, we've kind of had to change some things with our coaching style to get them to understand, look at the big picture here.
Is that Mark Bauer or Mark Pelini staying the course over there? Hey, Mark, we'll let you get out of here. We appreciate you joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show again. The UNK Holiday Inn open this Saturday at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds at 9 a.m. And a lot of cool stuff happens after the calendar turns. So we'll talk to you again then.
Awesome. Thank you, man. Have a great day.
You bet. Mark Bauer joining us here on our Loper Link. A couple of other things. We told you about volleyball as we started. Talked yesterday with Daryl Morris about the football team. Cole Manhart, the only unanimous football player. That says something right there in the MIAA first team. Also, Kellen Werner makes third team, and Ty Kojal makes the honorable mention. We knew that Mackenzie Brown was coming to play basketball for the women. Well, it's official. She's signed. The women will be on the road playing a couple of former RMAC members this weekend. So a couple of games there at Colorado Springs and Metro State. The Loper men will go to South Dakota Mines, and then Shadron comes in on Sunday. Also, what else did we have here? The former UNK defensive back Arthur Hobbs is going to play in the Grey Cup. So watch for that. Arthur Hobbs playing in the Grey Cup. for the Canadian Championship. And the UNK cross-country team, the men ranked for the first time in Division II era, 22nd as they get ready for next week's NCAA Championships. We need to take a break. We'll be back and chat with Sean Callahan here from Cunningham's. Come on down and join us for our Husker Lunch. Still some room. Get registered for the Nebraska-Iowa tickets that we give away at the end of the day today. Come in, have some lunch, talk Husker football with Sean, which we'll do when we come back.
The annual Gateway Farm Expo, November 20th and 21st at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, showcases hundreds of exhibitors that will help your ag business succeed. While you browse, enjoy free lunches and entertainment. The Gateway Farm Expo, sponsored by Farm and Ranch Network, Mid-States Irrigation, and Town and Country Bank. The 2013 Gateway Farm Expo in Kearney, coordinated by Kappa Co-op, November 20th and 21st.
It's the Gateway Farm Expo!
Hi, it's the Herd. With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office. Who does? Traffic, parking, it's never worse than the holidays. It'll be packed. So I recommend using Stamps.com instead. Okay, you can avoid all the hassles of circling the post office, getting behind Gert in line. It's a headache. Everything you can do at the post office, do from your desk, do from at home. Buy and print official U.S. postage. Your own computer, your own printer. By the way, you can print postage, any letter, any package, domestic, international, any size, when you need it, then hand it to the mailman. Easy and convenient. Right now, a special offer. Got to use my name. No risk. $110 all in. And they'll give you a digital scale. How do you do it? Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the mic, top of the homepage, and type in Colin. That's stamps.com. Enter Colin. You'll get 55 bones, free postage, digital scale, $110 all in. Don't circle the parking lot. Stamps.com.
Why is it that we sit at baseball games in 100-degree heat? Or tailgate for a football game when we can't feel our toes? It's because sports embody the most important values of our community. Hard work, dedication, and teamwork. These are Nebraska values. Everything it takes a great team and a great community to succeed. And we're proud to have been born and raised here. Platte Valley State Bank and Trust, your financial center, member FDIC.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see sunny skies developing in our forecast for today with high temperatures near 62 degrees, and we'll have increasing clouds tonight as a cold front approaches. We'll fall to lows of 29. I'm meteorologist Sam Danieski. Right now, it's 54.
He says, hell yeah, I'll turn it up, right on. And hell yeah, sounds good. Sing that song, guitar man, playing all night long. Take me back to where the music hit me. Life was good, and love was easy.
Got an MBA in a plush corner office. She got a don't mess with me attitude.
She'll close the deal.
And welcome back to the Doug and Danny Show here from Cunningham's as part of our Husker Lunch. Come on in and join us. Whether you can't get here till 12:30, maybe you got to leave by then. Come on in. Sean Callahan is here. He's got his new book with him. He'll talk all the Husker football. Plus, we're giving away our Nebraska, Iowa tickets. And folks, don't forget it's that time of the year to get out of the field on the travels that we've made. I went up to Stewart Monday, was at Battle Creek yesterday, and just about all of the corn is out of the field. All the pivots are getting taken care of, and you can tell where the good fields are and what's been taken care of by the T&L hydraulic pivot system. T&L's safe hydrostatically powered design provides continuous movement to eliminate all hassles, and maybe it's time to get that thing taken care of and get it ready and get it upgraded for next year. Maybe it's just time to get a new pivot system. You're a little disappointed with what you've got? Be sure to see your local T&L dealer or go online, TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation Systems, proven hydraulic. What's wrong with that word today? Technology that works. Sean Callahan is with us. I got to stick them on. I put them on this weekend. How disappointing was Saturday? I've got the feeling that Nebraska was the better football team on that day, talent-wise. Obviously, you can't leave it on the ground. Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network, apparently didn't agree. There's some other big picture out there. Your thoughts?
I think anybody that watched that game and the way Nebraska moved the ball on Michigan State, which no one has done that all year to that defense, that's what really, you know, makes you sick about the way that game. And would they have won the game? I think they would have if they would have turned it over two or three less times than they did. I mean, I think they could have survived two turnovers, maybe three, but not five. And especially where they turned the ball over at, three of them inside the 22-yard line. The defense gave up 17 points there. I think 24 of the points Michigan State got were directly off those five turnovers. They were able to hold on one of those five where it didn't lead to any points. But I think everybody that watched that game, there's nothing about Michigan State that wowed you in that game that you're like, wow, they are considerably better than Nebraska. Their punter and their special teams were better than Nebraska's, but their defense did not look like the 85 Bears like we thought they were going to. I mean, I was expecting the stifling brick wall where a 2-yard gain was going to be a success at times. And what I saw were 51-yard runs up the middle from Amani Cross, who's never had 51-yard runs before. And that really opened my eyes that Nebraska had a good game plan, but kind of the same old story that we've become accustomed to the last couple of years. In these games, Nebraska just gets in their own way, and they're able to win some like that, but they lost one where it finally caught up with them.
When I look at Nebraska, you mentioned the turnovers, very frustrating. Pelini, over the last 4 or 5 years, his teams have not been real adept at protecting the football. And I don't know how you coach that. I mean, has there been some talk about what they can do different, why that possibly is? You, when it's over 4 or 5 years, you can't just say it's bad luck. There has to be something more to it, doesn't there?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what you coach to try to prevent that.
I think with on the offense, a lot of young guys out there, number one. Tommy Armstrong, Terrell Newby were part of four of those turnovers. Jordan Westerkamp, freshman. I mean, they're young guys. I think that's part of it. Young players making mistakes in those situations, pressing in the situations. I felt like Armstrong, after that initial fumble, the Newby on that option pitch, it really affected him the rest of the day, kind of put him on edge, made him nervous. But I don't know what you do. And, you know, defensively, we're seeing less turnovers and takeaways. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with playing man-to-man defense. I think it's hard to get a lot of interceptions when you play man coverage because you really got to be on point and you've got to get the defensive line knocking some passes down in the air. But when you play a zone, you're able to maybe jump in front of more pass routes. You know, in 2003, Nebraska didn't run man-to-man defense when Bo was here. It was all zone for the most part that year. So I do think when you play a lot of man, it seems like you don't see as many turnovers. At least we haven't the last couple of years under Nebraska.
Just another minute here with Sean Callahan. We get ready for Penn State. I've said all year when people asked at the beginning of the year, prediction, how's Nebraska going to do? I said this is one of the games that they're going to have a tough time winning, and that was with everything that Nebraska supposedly was going to have at this time. This is Penn State's bowl game. Nebraska is young. Part of that is because of injury. Now there's even more guys sitting out of practice. How much will the injuries affect this football game? And just your thoughts on Saturday.
Well, I think weather is going to play a factor. It's going to be colder. It might be wet. It's on grass. But, you know, they're talking game time temperatures will be maybe in the high to mid-20s. So it will be a chillier, windier day in State College with a chance of rain and snow. And you wonder how Nebraska kind of matches up in that stuff. You know, Tommy Armstrong and guys like that have never played in a cold weather game like that, that they're going to be in a big stadium. You know, Amir Abdullah, how much can his body take? It's going to be a game where the running backs are going to have to probably carry the load and get 40 or 50 carries. And if it's windy and cold, you may not see as many big downfield throws. And I think on a neutral field, Nebraska is the better team. But on the road, you know, Penn State's a slight favorite. But nothing about them really scares you other than Bill O'Brien's coaching ability. Allen Robinson's a good receiver, but Nebraska's seen a lot of good receivers. I'm not too worried. I'm worried about those two running backs, though. You know, Swinack and Buckle or whatever their guy's name is. Their ability to go up the middle and just try to pound Nebraska, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to just try to get 4, 5, 6 yards and keep pounding Nebraska. And, you know, how will the defense respond after a really, really physical, emotional loss last week?
Look in your crystal ball. Where do you see Nebraska in the bowl picture?
I think it's really down to two. You know, I think there's a really good chance it's either going to be Tempe for the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl or Tampa for the Outback Bowl. It just depends on what happens and how things finish. From a fan standpoint, I think Tempe would be the slam dunk because there's a lot of alumni in that part of the country. There are a lot of people that just like to go to Arizona from Nebraska in general. You've got flights direct from Grand Island and Omaha on three different airlines to Phoenix. It's a Saturday night bowl game. To me, playing a Big 12 team like Oklahoma or Texas or K-State, those are probably the three likely opponents. That would be, I think, a fun trip on what's been kind of a disappointing season. Tampa, you're talking maybe Missouri or South Carolina or LSU. I don't know if that's a game. I think the big thing in a bowl game is you want to play a winnable matchup, and I think a Big 12 game would be much more fun and probably a better matchup for Nebraska.
All right, Sean, we'll let you get to the fans here and talk a little Husker football. Best of luck. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Sean. We'll wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show. Come down and join us from Cunningham's, our Husker lunch here on the Doug and Daddy Show, brought to you by Home Federal, Gary Michaels Clothiers, and Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation. Back with more to wrap it up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Plumbers, Waterworks, and HVAC pros, this is Coach Terry Bradshaw. Are you looking for a team that gets you the supplies you need?
Yeah.
Then you want Ferguson. You can order your materials online, then pick them up at your branch or have them delivered.
Yeah.
And with Ferguson Pro Plus, your online orders now earn points you can use to get cool stuff, electronics, sports gear, even trips. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Then check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.com.
For a limited time, score double points on all faucets. Get started at Ferguson.com/Pro Plus.
Hey everybody, this is Coach, and I want all you tried and true college football fans to enter the AT&T Be the Fan sweepstakes. Tackle my weekly challenge and you might be the fan who wins a VIP trip to ESPN College Game Day. Find out how you can win at attbethefan.com. AT&T, rethink possible.
No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. citizens and resident aliens of the 50 U.S. states or D.C. of the age of majority. Ends 11:59 p.m. Central Time, November 29th, 2013. Official rules at attbethefan.com.
Folks, we want to thank you for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Come on down. Husker Lunch is underway with Sean Callahan here at Cunningham's. And we will be drawing out the Nebraska-Iowa tickets. Looking forward to that, Randy.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty good time. It's really winding down. You know, football's going to be over by this time next week. High school football, we're heading into basketball. It's amazing how fast this went.
We will have Rick Pizzo of the Big Ten Network joining us tomorrow to talk Big Ten football a little bit more on what we were talking about with Sean. Luke Hoover to answer your fantasy football questions. I hate when guys beat me to some slack guy on the waiver wire, but that's the way it is. We'll talk to Luke from RotoWire. Plus, we're going to get a couple of the high school football coaches here the next 2 days that are headed down to Lincoln for the state championships. We want to thank today's guests, the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Jim Holton, Mark Bauer, UNK Wrestling, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, and Sean Callahan of Husker Online. Randy, enjoy the rest of your day. It's going to get kind of nasty weather-wise, so I don't want to be at work this afternoon.
When there's a little bit of snow, it really does kind of feel like there should be state championship games on somewhere.
That's right. Don't forget, every state championship game next Monday and Tuesday right here on ESPN Radio. For our producer-engineer Jeff Babel and Randy Bushcutter, I'm Doug Duda. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.